FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. The economy is changing the way we all work, the way you interact with one another. Little things like going to the office, if you even have one. Many of you don't. Well, it seemed to be a millennial thing, but it really is something far more significant. It's really a change in society, and the digital revolution, or as my next guest calls it, digital economics, it strikes home and the office. And well, what's your work situation? Tell us. We'd love to know. You working from home? Do you have an office? Do you work for a company that has you work at home? Let us know. The email address is kl@kerrylutz.com. So my good friend is on with us now, Naresh Vissa. And Naresh has written four books. Probably the foremost known among them is Podcastnomics, which is one of the early books about podcasting. The latest book, really another bestseller, From Nobody to Bestselling Author. And Naresh, you're kind of a student of the economy and of society, and you've noticed a trend that we've made a transformation. We're in what you call now digital economics. How do you define that?
Yeah, well, it's really now a digital economy, which is part of the 21st century economy. And just to give Kerry, first off, thanks for having me on the show. You and I go way back for many, many years, and we've had a lot of great times together and great travels together. But going back to the digital economy, this is something that I've seen through my own business, Krish Media and Marketing. And even before I started my business, when I was working full time at Stansberry Research, which you've had some of their analysts, and that's how we first met. But we are now living in a time where almost everything is going digital. Like you and I, Kerry, we're conducting this podcast episode digitally. We're not in the same studio. You're in one part. I think you're in South Florida. I'm in Central Florida. I'm at my home office. Who knows where you are? But that's just an example of how technology has disrupted the traditional economy, and it's disrupted it in so many different ways. So I just want to kind of talk about what I'm seeing in my space, which is in the e-commerce, online and digital marketing space, how we've affected companies, corporations, in the sense of outsourcing, why these companies have decided to outsource freelance, and then how it affects real estate as well, because with a digital economy, there's not as much of a need as a physical workspace. So more people are working from home. In my case, I've actually been working digitally, so to speak, for almost 11 years now. And that's the greatness of this digital economy that we live in. There's really no more excuse. The gatekeepers are kind of gone. All you need on the entrepreneurial side is a laptop, an internet connection, and an iPhone to do work or to get a business up and running.
Right. And so it's become so much more simple in so many ways. Look, if you want to set up an LLC or corporation, it used to be you had to retain a service. It cost you about $1,000. Now, with a little bit of research, you can set up your own LLC within minutes, literally. And that's just one example of the way things are happening. Building a virtual company without employees, with contractors around the globe. There's so many ways of doing it. From your standpoint, the trend is well in place. Where is it heading?
Well, it's only going to continue to improve. And the way I see it, improve meaning it's going to continue to pick up. The way I see it is 2008, 2009, we all know what happened financially. It was a global economic crisis. And that was really kind of the wake-up call for the global economy, especially the U.S. economy, to open their eyes and say, hey, we've got to find ways to cut costs and to get more done by spending less. That was what gave rise, because the 90s was the dot-com boom, the tech boom, software, all that. And it didn't, it busted or it bust back in 2000, it went bust back in 2001, 2002. And so what I'm saying here is the wake-up call came in 2008, 2009, and that gave rise to all these online publishers, websites like Elance.com, Fiverr.com, and also made the economy more global. So it's not just hiring people here within the United States, but now you can essentially outsource most technology IT services. And now even manufacturing, you can outsource those, as we've seen politically. Companies have been doing that to places like China, Germany, Mexico, et cetera. So the reason why people are doing this at the end of the day, or businesses are doing this at the end of the day, is because A, it's more efficient, and B, it improves the bottom line. It saves on cost. So I think the next, whenever that next recession comes, we know it's coming, because it's there's a business cycle and it always comes. We just don't know when. It could be 5 years from now, it could be next year, or it could be 10 years from now. But whenever that does happen, I think that's going to be the next transformation in the kind of global economy, where more and more companies and corporations are going to go majority freelance, contract, digital. Because like I said, I'm seeing it with my own business, my company, Crush Media and Marketing. We've actually, the services that we offer, we've displaced full-time employees at several companies simply because our clients were like, you know what, it's, you guys are way more efficient, you get a lot more done, and you're cheaper than me having this entire digital marketing team or this entire IT team. We're saving millions of dollars a year. So that kind of idea is going to be applied to small businesses and corporations across the board.
Yeah. And we see it, like you say, all over. I know my children, three millennials, they're no longer tethered to their offices. In fact, my one daughter, her company's global. She can work in any office in the world, go into the company, or she can work from home whenever she pleases. But the interactions of individuals, you know, especially when you're working for a company, it's important that you do connect, actually physically connect with people. You can't displace it all, but certainly for contractors, the necessity of them being in your location really is kind of disappearing, and that's going to have profound effects, and is having profound effects on things like office space and transportation. The idea, I see it with trade shows, that more and more companies are realizing the cost of attending a show is so costly, it's so expensive, that they actually do digital online webcast webinars to supplant the need for it.
Well, let's break that down. You bring up a good example. So if you want to attend a trade show, Carrie, and I'm sure, I know you visit several conferences, trade shows. So let's say you want to go to a conference in Las Vegas, and the conference is hosted at the Aria Resort. Well, the Aria is obviously not a cheap hotel or resort by any means. So we're talking about minimum $300 a night because of all these resort fees and other fees. Then on top of that, you have to pay for your airfare. Then you have to pay for your food, your transportation to and from the airport, maybe if you want to go around Vegas. So we're talking for a 4-day event or a 4-night stay. We're talking about $2,000 in expense just to visit this hypothetical event that's going on. Whereas, let's say an online special event. So one thing that my company does is we put on online events, online conferences, online summits, online webinars, and they've been huge, huge successes. Because in a physical event, you might be limited by space. You might be able to only sell 400 tickets because that's how many seats can fit in a in the hall. But in an online event, I mean, I've seen time and time again where companies like my former employer, Stansberry, they have an online event and they're getting tens of thousands of people to attend. In some cases, they had an online event that generated more than 100,000, six figures in attendance. And there's no way they would have been able to do such a thing if they held it at, if they held such an event at a physical location. So it's of benefit to the attendees because all they have to do is just get in front of their phone or their tablet or their computer, and they don't have to spend the $2,000 or so to attend. And it's also a benefit to the content producer because same thing, they can just kind of get their team to do everything on the back end online and then publish it. So we recently did, or every year we do several online conferences, and it's just like producing a real conference, a real trade show, in that you're booking the experts, the speakers, you have the schedule. But again, I have actually personally found as a speaker at these conferences, I found that when people invite me to do an online event, so even if it's an online podcast compared to going into a TV studio or a radio studio, or to speak on in an online conference, I found way more return for my time. And that is, the return is quantified by leads that I get, sales that I get. I found way more return through the online means than I did going physically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also you have the ability to replay these things unlimited until they're no longer relevant. You know, I know they have videos and tracks and stuff available for live conferences, but it's a lot different when you start out because people feel like when they watch the video or the live conference, unless it's something they want to really see, they're kind of missing out because they're not there.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. There are just so many benefits in this kind of technological online and digital economy that we live in. And one of the points you brought up, you said that you have three millennial children and most of them can work from anywhere, whether it's an office or from home. And that's a big trend. That is, I don't know if people understand how this affects so much of what we do. It affects our daily lives, our quality of life. It affects real estate. I know you talk a lot about real estate on your show, and you and I are both real estate coaches and real estate investors, but it affects real estate because in the case of commercial real estate, If small businesses aren't leasing the office space, well, you're going to have to deal with more vacancy. And you compare that to residential real estate, I like to say that everybody needs a place to sleep. And even homeless people, they need a place to sleep. But not everybody needs a set place to work. So your kids, me, we can take our computers with us and we can work from Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, offices, our bedrooms, our living rooms, you name it. And it's, like I said, most people, though, they probably sleep in the same bed every night. Mm-hmm. So that's why residential real estate, I think, is one of these asset classes which won't be as disrupted by the online and digital and technology. It will certainly be aided. Online technology and online and digital economics certainly affect residential in that it might be easier to find deals as an investor. It might be easier to close on houses. It might be easier to execute things. It might be easier to manage a property. If you live in California and you own property in Tennessee, online and digital makes it easier to manage that property and to get a quick appraisal and to kind of expedite, make so many processes more efficient. But as far as the trend of what's better, residential or commercial going forward, I'm still bullish on residential. And bearish on commercial. And we see that with, you've covered on your show, the shopping malls, the shopping centers.
Ghost malls.
they just keep shutting down. It's like every week I read a story about some retailer at a mall shutting down. And then the malls have to fill that space with someone else. Well, they're struggling. They're struggling to fill those spaces. So we see it happening. That's considered a commercial property. We're already seeing it happening. And I think it's going to continue to get worse because of Amazon and Walmart is now taking online and digital so seriously. Really, those two companies are changing the game as far as retail and commercial real estate goes.
Hey, so how does podcasting and other forms of digital media kind of fit into this equation?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Trilogy Metals is a world-class developer in Alaska's Ambler Mining District. The company already possesses 8 billion pounds of copper, 3 billion pounds of zinc, over 1 million gold equivalent ounces, and now over 77 million pounds of cobalt. Trilogy's Arctic project boasts an after-tax net present value of $1.4 billion with a 33% IRR. Trilogy is led by an experienced management team with proven success in discovering and developing projects in Alaska. The company is well capitalized, has no debt, and possesses strong institutional support. Trilogy trades on the New York and Toronto exchanges under the ticker symbol TMQ. To learn more, go to trilogymetals.com. That's trilogymetals.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, in the sense of digital media, online publishing, it really ties in a lot to what we're seeing in the news. So in the case of traditional 20th century media, people only had their local newspaper. They had the New York Times, CNN, Fox News. They were very limited in their options. And with the rise of online and digital, now you have alternative media, niche media that has come up, like the Financial Survival Network, like podcasts, so many podcasts now. There are now more than 300,000 active podcasts and now over 1 million just podcasts in general. Many of them have gone inactive. And now podcasting is such a big deal because content distributors like Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Pandora, they're all getting into the game because they realize that this is a medium that people are interested in consuming. So in the case of news and publishing, like I mentioned, it's easier than ever to start a podcast. And you can talk about that. You wrote an entire book about it, about your experiences starting the podcast and kind of making that transition from being an attorney to becoming a media personality. And that is all because of online and digital. And it's changed the game. It's changed the media game. It's why publications like CNN and the New York Times are struggling. Well, they were struggling until Trump came along, but they were struggling to get eyeballs. They were struggling to get viewers, readers, subscribers, simply because people realize, hey, I have other options that are just more truthful, that are better, that just I appreciate more. So I don't need to give my time. I'm not forced to watch CNN anymore. I'm not forced to read the local newspaper anymore. There are hundreds of other publications and podcasts and radio shows that I can listen to thanks to the online and digital economy.
Yeah, it's so true. It's really made the world a lot smaller, opened things up, and really given you more opportunities to build your own personal brand and really get clients from all over the world.
Yeah, and talking about those news stations once again, or those news channels that I mentioned, I think a perfect example is our current political climate. So you mentioned that I wrote a book called Trump Book, How Digital Liberals Silenced the Nation into Making America Hate Again. And in that book, I really analyzed how online and digital played a huge role in getting President Trump elected. And I bring this up because now we have, we're almost about to start an election year, and online and digital is so important. It's such an important strategy, such an important medium that political candidates have to target. And Trump did an incredible job of not just taking over the mainstream news media, but also tapping into these kind of smaller niche alternative forms of media, the podcasts, the blogs. I mean, Breitbart was not really seen. It was not really a well-known media publication. It was considered a niche conservative publication. And it wasn't until Trump came on the scene and his advisors came on the scene that Breitbart has now, I mean, you can make a case that it's now a mainstream outlet because Trump was able to tap into that niche, which had a huge audience, huge, huge audience, and now has an even more gigantic audience, and essentially get those people to follow him and support him. I bring this up because Andrew Yang, who's another good case study on the Democratic side, he's somebody, he's not a politician. Most people had never heard of him. A year ago, he was essentially a nobody. But what he did from the start was he attacked. He knew that the mainstream wouldn't cover him. He knew that even CNN and MSNBC wouldn't cover him because he was just considered a nobody. And he was just not on. He wasn't even in the ballpark. And so he really attacked the niche media. He attacked the podcasts, the blogs, including Breitbart. I mean, he's running as a Democrat. And he went on various conservative shows. He went on as many podcasts as he could. And now he's polling in the top five and for all the Democrats, which is, look, polls, who knows how accurate they are. But the fact that this guy who was not even in the top 30 a year ago and that he's now in the top five for so many polls shows the power of online and digital. And he's somebody, I mean, his background is he has a very kind of storied entrepreneurial technology background. So he gets it. He gets online and digital. He gets technology. He gets data science. And he hired all those people. And that's how he attacked it. So, again, we can see the role that online and digital media has played in this year's kind of election cycle.
Yeah, it's definitely progressing. And I guess what you're saying effectively is it's every aspect of life. We're seeing a similar impact, and it's a major impact. And perhaps nobody is really appreciating where this is all heading.
Yeah, well, when you say nobody's appreciating, I don't think the average American is paying much attention because still there's so many workers who they have their job and they're just content with where they are. And they're not really understanding what this means for them and their jobs. And it's not just a job thing. It's also how they're going to raise their families, how they're going to buy their house. So much is going to change within the next 10 to 15 years. And look, there are already people who are facing it. My generation, I'm a millennial also. My generation, it's easy for us not to think about the future and just be focused on the present and not worry about stuff. But the previous generation, that's exactly what they did. And then 2008, 2009 happened, and then they found themselves displaced. And it's been a struggle to go back to work. And the oil and gas industry, since 2014, that industry, you can just look at the price of oil. You can look at the price of some of the big oil stocks like ExxonMobil and Chevron, and you can see for yourself that it's been a bloodbath in that industry. And that industry has had to innovate, and it's had to go through and do everything that I said earlier. It's had to cut costs, hire part-time people, hire temps, independent contractors, lay off tons and tons of people, stop their projects altogether. I mean, the offshore oil space, for example, there's almost zero activity going on in the offshore oil space because it just doesn't make financial sense to drill offshore because the oil is onshore and it's a lot cheaper to do it onshore. So there's so many people have been displaced, people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and they just kind of thought, oh, well, the oil and gas industry is a good old boys network. I'm going to be here for the rest of my life and this and that. Well, millennials have to be careful. They have to kind of stay away from falling into that trap because once you get complacent with your job, all it takes is a recession. Again, like I said earlier, it's going to happen. We just don't know when. All it takes is that recession for you to lose your job and then all of a sudden panic to figure out what you're going to do next.
Yeah. So in other words, get ready for change now because it's coming, and it's coming whether you're ready or not. So you better just do it. And so if you're a millennial or even other generations, what's the best way to prepare?
Well, that's really the key, most important question in this entire episode. How can we prepare for this? Because if this is coming, I don't want to be the one who's screwed. And I think the important areas to focus on is, number one, skills. So build up your skill set. If you're currently working a job, make yourself valuable to that company by building up your skill set. Be that guy who people, or that girl who people want to go to when they need something. Make yourself extremely valuable. That way, A, the company will find you valuable and make it hard for them to get rid of you. But then B, if they do get rid of you, you can take those skills and apply it somewhere else, whether it's at another company or it's you starting your own business, your own service business, your own, if you want to become a freelancer, whatever. Make sure you build up that skill set. And skills are just incredibly, incredibly important, because in today's economy, we hire people who can get the job done. And in order for them to get the job done, they need to have the skills, not the qualification. A piece of paper, a degree from a school, doesn't mean that you have skills. So really, just because so many people think, oh, well, I have this master's degree, I have that degree, and they think they're entitled to jobs and positions. That might have been the case 20 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, but that certainly is not the case anymore. Especially when the going gets tough, that's not going to be the case. So that's the first thing I would say. And that ties into the skills, tie into value creation. So make sure that you are providing value and creating value. Because if you can create value, then you're always going to find yourself in the middle of deals, in the middle of clients, of business. It's just not going to be a problem. But focus on those two things, building up your skill set and creating value. If you can master those two areas, then you're going to be just fine when this comeuppance occurs.
Well, I think that's always a good idea in any economy. Invest in yourself first. Invest in human capital, because that's going to have the best payoff over time. At least that's what I found for myself. So we want to find out more about you, Naresh. Get your books. Where's the best place to connect with you?
Yeah, well, check out my website, NareshVissa.com. All my books are available there. You can get on my free mailing list as well. I send out really cool ideas on what we talked about today, the digital economy, online marketing, digital marketing, e-commerce. You can also go to Amazon and just type in my name, Naresh Vissa, and all my books are available there. And I'll even offer your listeners of a free digital audiobook of my book, 50 Shades of Marketing, Whip Your Business into Shape and Dominate Your Competition. I'll offer them a free audiobook if they just contact me. They can visit my website, get in touch with me through there, and I'll send them a code so they get the audiobook for free.
All right, excellent. Well, it's always a pleasure connecting with you, getting new ideas from you, Naresh. It's really, you know, it makes you think. And that's probably the most important thing you need to do in this new digital economy is think. Think for yourself. Think of ways to make yourself more valuable to others. And think of how the best way to connect with those people is. Any questions or comments for Naresh or myself, just email us, kl@carrylutz.com. Twitter feed @CarrieLutz. Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Naresh, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again real soon.
All right. Thanks, Kerry. Always a pleasure.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.